the Kala Rupa speaks to, and in answer to Arjuna's request to please reveal who he is and what is his mission. So the universal form begins to speak in text 32.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha Kalosmi Lokakshaya Krit Pravidho Lokam Samartum Iha Pravrittaha Vritte Pitvam Na Bhravishyanti Sarve Ye Vashtita Pratyani Keshu Yodha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds. I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain." So, the universal form is saying, Kalasmi, Lokakshayakshit, Lokakshayakrit, Pravidho. I am time. And time is the great destroyer, Pravidho. And everyone on the battlefield will be killed except for the Pandavas. Rite pitvam, in the second line, or the rather the third line, rite pitvam, even without you, they will be killed, because I have come in this form of kala, in the form of time. And Krishna said that mityu savaharas chaham, that I am this all-devouring time in the last chapter. And in the commentary here, Prabhupada quotes from the Katha Upanishad, yasya brahma chakshatram cha ube bhavada odana. As we mentioned already, that the brahmanas and the kshatriyas will now, both of them will become kasha, or cereal, Kitri, for the mouth of the universal form. He'll chew them up just like a meal. And Prabhupada mentions that there. At the end of his commentary he says, in reply, the Lord is saying that even if he did not fight, every one of them would be destroyed, for that was his plan. If Arjuna stopped fighting, they would die in another way. Death could not be checked, even if he did not fight. In fact, they were already dead. Time is destruction, and all manifestations are to be vanquished by the desire of the Supreme Lord. That is the law of nature. So Arjuna asks, Ko Bhavan, who are you? And the answer here is, Kalosmi, I am time. And Lokakshaya Krit, I am engaged in destruction. So all of them will die because I have come in this form of kala. Next verse.
Tasmatramutishtaya sholabhasva jidva shatrum bhungsva rajam samridham nayayavate nihata purvameva nimitta matram bhavasavyasachin.
Therefore, get up, prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. And you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. So, since they're already killed by Kalarupa, he says, Tasmat tvam utishna yasho lubasva. So now, get up and win victory, or gain victory. Jitva shatrun, we defeat your enemies, and bhungsva rajam samridham, and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. All of this has been already done by me, maya eva. only by me. Nihata, that they have already been killed, purva evam, by my previous arrangement. And now, you should simply act as my instrument, nimitta matram, bhavyasava sachi. So Krishna is saying, show your prowess in this great war by shooting many arrows with both hands, Arjuna, just like clouds pour down rain. And because Arjuna was very expert in shooting his arrows, he's to be engaged in this way. This is his varna, his occupational duty. He's a warrior, a very expert warrior. So Krishna is engaging him as an instrument. The Supreme Lord is deciding who will die and who will take birth and when this will happen in the form of time. So he's demanding that all of these people shall be now killed and you will be my instrument. And so he's saying that if you fight, you'll receive glory and a kingdom. So I order you as a friend, but don't become puffed up. Don't become proud, because I have done it, my eva, by my previous arrangement. I have already killed them myself. So you should act as my instrument, but don't become proud. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada makes some comments on this verse in a class. Canto 3, Chapter 3, and Text 10. Oh, yeah, this is right from the Bhagavatam commentary. The Lord ascended at the request of Brahma in order to kill all the undesirables of the world. But to divide the share of glory, he sometimes engaged his devotees to take the credit. The battle of Kurukshetra was designed by the Lord himself. But just to give credit to his devotee Arjuna, nimitta matram bhavyasava sachin, he played the part of the charioteer, while Arjuna was given the chance to play the fighter, and thus become the hero of the battle. What he wants to do himself by his transcendental plans, he executes through his confidential devotees. That is the way of the Lord's mercy towards his unalloyed devotees. Srila Prabhupada also gave the example of his fighting for the Bombay land. When the devotees first moved onto Hare Krishna land, Prabhupada had promised Radharasa Vihari that he would build a palace for them if they would just stay on the land. So just like this, for land we are fighting because we are thinking that Krishna has come here. Krishna is seated here. It cannot be vacated. We are not thinking that it is a material thing. This is an example. Just like Arjuna. Arjuna fought because he thought that this war, this Kurukshetra battle, is for the satisfaction of Krishna. Karishye vachanam tava. In the beginning, Arjuna denied to fight. He thought, why shall I fight with my kinsmen? Let them enjoy. But when he understood that it is Krishna's desire, nimitta matram bhavyasava sachin, it is already planned. Krishna said, my dear Arjuna, you are thinking that you'll save your relatives, but you are wrong. It is already planned. Those who have come here, they must be killed. That is already my plan. You simply become an instrument, nimitta matram bhavyasava sachin. So when Arjuna understood that it is Krishna's plan, then I am servant of Krishna. I must satisfy Krishna. Krishna therefore asked Arjuna, now, after hearing my instructions in Bhagavad Gita, what are you going to do? And in another, it takes off. Arjuna replied, Nashto moha smriti labha. My dear Lord Krishna, my illusion is now over. I have got my remembrance, smriti labha. Everything belongs to you. For your satisfaction, everything must be done. Kurishe vachanam tava. Yes, I'll fight. This is Krishna consciousness. And in a lecture in New Vrindavan, 1969, Prabhupada said, and the whole world is probable the whole world is problem for ordinary persons. But to us, it is not problem, because we see everything as Krishna's. If there is problem, it is Krishna's problem. Why my problem? Krishna can know how to solve problem, so we have no problem practically. Krishna's problem. Krishna will see to it. Just like Arjuna was encouraged that nimitta matram bhavyasavyasachin. Don't worry about your victory. I have already arranged. So we should have such faith and conviction. And let us try. Let us do very sincerely and seriously. Then everything Krishna will do. So this relieves one of anxiety, knowing that the problem is actually Krishna's problem. But we try as much as possible to help Krishna with his problem. But it's different than thinking that it's my problem. Of course, we may all have personal problems, but when we're talking about something big, you know, like sometimes devotees become distressed that, oh, ISKCON has so many problems and devotees are fighting, there's this temple, there's some politics, and this guru fell down, and this problem and that problem. And sometimes devotees may worry and worry and worry, and they can't do anything. They become useless. I'm like that, because I'm a vata dosha. I'm always worrying about everything. But I have to realize that this is not my movement, it's Krishna's movement. He is the supreme controller, not me. What can I do? I am nothing. I'm just a small jiva. So I may play my part as his instrument, but ultimately he's the supreme controller. He has to arrange everything. And so really it's his problem. If there's any problems in our movement, it's Krishna's problem. He has to arrange everything. But it's our duty to try our best to do the right things and try to help others and try to make ourselves Krishna conscious. But we can't take full responsibility for the entire of ISKCON or for the earth or, you know, even for one little country or one city even. Because what can we do? So similarly, the battlefield was, the whole responsibility was on Arjuna's shoulders, so he thought. But actually now he's realizing it's not. It's Krishna's problem. It's Krishna's war. And he's already killed all these people. And now he wants me to act as his instrument. So I'm not really the cause of it all. I'm not the prime mover, or the karta, or the doer. It's Krishna. So then he feels detached. He feels that I'm just acting as part of the plan. I'm just a little cog in the wheel of this big machine. And Krishna's the whole, I'm his part. And that's our consciousness. We're just parts and parcels of Krishna, and he uses us. And here, Krishna, particularly and interestingly enough, he calls Arjuna Savyasachi, which means that he's ambidextrous. He can shoot arrows with the left hand and with the right hand. Both. So sometimes soldiers would come from this way and he would take his gandiva and shoot, and sometimes from this side he'd flip them over and shoot over here. And this way he could shoot many arrows and kill many soldiers. So Krishna is using him. Text 34.
Vronam cha bhishmam cha jayadratam cha karnam tadanyam abhiyura viran maya hatam svam jahimam yatishta yudhasva jeta sirane sapatnam. Drona, Bhishma, Jayadratha, Karna, and the other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore, kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight, and you will vanquish your enemies in battle.
So before he mentioned Drona and Bhishma, but now he adds Jayadratha. Because he knows that Jayadratha is going to play an important part in the battle. On the particular day when Abhimanyu was killed, Jayadratha acted as an instrument also, but not for Krishna. Jayadratha went to the Swayamvara of Draupadi and he competed for her hand in marriage, but unfortunately he lost. And he was always madly in love with her. Anytime he saw her, he continued to make propositions, and he kept coming in contact with her again and again. And after the Pandavas were exiled, he was on the way to his marriage, and he was passing through Kamyavan, and there he saw Draupadi, and the Pandavas were not there. So he thought this was a great opportunity. Actually, he sent one of his cohorts to send a message to her illicitly, to solicit her romantic, engagement. So she vehemently refused this messenger. But still Jayadratha was not discouraged. He again and again approached her. And she continued refusing him very strongly. And then once he came and tried to forcibly bring her onto his chariot, and she just gave him a good slap in the head, knocked him over. She was a Kshatriya lady, she was very strong. But still he was not discouraged, so then he finally came and he grabbed her and he forcibly put her on his chariot and then drove away. And there was one rishi named Domya Muni who saw this, and he was taken aback. He thought this was terrible behavior. So he followed them, and then he sent a messenger to Yudhisthira to inform him. So then the Pandavas came and attacked Jayadratha's army and defeated every single one of them. They killed all of them. And then finally they caught up with Jayadratha personally, and Bhima caught hold of him and beat him severely within an inch of his life, almost dead. And then they shaved him up, except for five hairs sticking out of his head in different places. He was the original punk rocker, I guess, you know. And then they forced him to go to all the kings of the entire world and introduce himself as a slave of Yudhisthira. And then finally, he came in front of Yudhisthira, and he also introduced himself, that I'm your slave. And then Yudhisthira very kindly released him. But it was so insulting for a great king like Jayadratha to be dealt with in such a way that he immediately went to Gangotri and performed great austerities to please Lord Shiva. And then after some time, Lord Shiva appeared and he gave him a benediction. This rascal, he wanted to defeat all of the Pandavas. And Lord Shiva said that, well, you can defeat four of them, but Arjuna you cannot defeat because he's with Krishna, and no one can defeat Krishna. But I'll give you the power to defeat the Pandavas just once. One time you'll be able to do this. So then Jayadratha was very pleased. And also he gave them another benediction that whoever causes your head to fall to the ground, his head will crack into seven places. So then the battle of Kurukshetra began, and the great generals, well, Jayadratha fought with Virat, Drupad, and also he fought with Abhimanyu. And then there were seven great generals that surrounded Abhimanyu, because he was as powerful as Arjuna. And they thought if they could kill him, then they would discourage and mortify Arjuna so much that he would give up the fight. So they all seven of them, all of the biggest warriors they surrounded him, although he was just a youth, maybe 16 or 17 years old. And they together they killed him in a very horrible way. So, and during this time, when the Pandavas were trying to support him and get him back, because they sent him into this Chakravyuha, this particular type of military arrangement that only he could enter into. So then the Pandavas were planning to follow him into this phalanx and then destroy the phalanx. But as he entered into it, and they followed, but as they followed, Jayadratha drove up. And he stopped the Pandavas, and he defeated all of them, which was very surprising to everyone. And this was because he was empowered by Lord Shiva to do that. And that day, Duryodhana had cleverly had the Trigartha army invite, practically by force, Arjuna to fight in a separate part of the battlefield, far, far away, many miles away, to get him out of the way, because he knew that Jayadratha wouldn't be able to defeat him. So when Arjuna came back from fighting the Trigartha army, and he found out that his son was killed, he was mortified. Actually, when he came into the camp, none of the Pandavas could look at him in the face. All Yudhisthira, Bhima, they had their heads down, and they couldn't even look at him in the eyes. And then Arjuna understood that something was wrong. He looked back and forth, and he said, "What happened? Why is everyone so morose?" And then he realized, "Where's my son, Abhimanyu?" And then they couldn't even look at him. They felt so terrible. And Arjuna became so angry when he heard what had happened, that all of these big generals, they all surrounded his young son and killed them like an animal. Then he took a vow. When he realized that it was Jayadratha who stopped the Pandavas from protecting his son, then he vowed that he would kill Jayadratha tomorrow before the setting of the sun, or otherwise he would enter into fire. So when the Kauravas heard this, they were very happy, because then they thought, now we can just save Jayadratha from Arjuna. We'll keep him way in the back of the army, and Arjuna will never get to him. And then Arjuna will have to kill himself and will win the war. And they all were celebrating that night. But then the next day, they again had a very formidable military arrangement. And Krishna and Arjuna broke through the arrangement, and they actually, Jayadratha was something like 40 miles behind and way in the back of the battlefield. And to get all the way there, they had to fight through all the generals and all the armies, and it was just Krishna and Arjuna. And then halfway through, the horses were tired, so then Arjuna built like a big wall of arrows. He shot one arrow into the air and then came down as, 10 million, and created like a fence around this area. And then he shot an arrow into the ground, and then some water springs came. And then he just watered the horses. Krishna cleaned the horses, and the whole army was trying to break it through the fence. And and then they sent Satyaki to give support to Krishna and Arjuna. He's an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. One of the most valiant fighters in the Mahabharata war. So then he came in, and then Bhima came. And then they were all trying to break through the many, many miles of phalanxes of army. And it was getting later and later. And then finally Krishna Arjuna came out, and their horses were rejuvenated, and they went, and then finally towards the end of the day, the sun was just going, and they saw Jayadratha being protected by all these big warriors in the back. And then Krishna said, "Now we should kill him. There he is." But at that point, the sun went down. And then everyone started, the Kauravas said, "Jai, Jai, Krishna, Arjuna are defeated. Jayadratha's lived." But actually it was Krishna's illusion. He just covered the sun temporarily to put them off guard. So when they came out, "Jai, Jai," then Krishna said, "Now kill him." Arjuna took his, and he shot his arrow, and he cut off his head. and his head went flying off to the battlefield, and it landed on his father's lap. His father was doing austerity meditation in Samantapanchaka, which was nearby, the five lakes of Parshuram, and the head landed on his lap. Because Krishna reminded Arjuna, remember, Shiva gave him this benediction that whoever causes his head to touch the ground, he'll die. So now you have to shoot his head and put it all on his father's lap. He's sitting there, see? And then he shot his head, and when his father saw this, you know, hairy, bloody head on his lap, he just threw it off in disgust. And then he saw it was his son's head. And then immediately his head cracked into seven pieces, and they were both finished. So here, Krishna's mentioning Jayadratha, and that all, not only Jayadratha, but Karna and Bhishma, who was considered the most powerful, that he could never be killed, but all of them will be killed, and therefore you have nothing to worry about. You just have to fight. Don't be disturbed, and you will defeat all these big enemies. He said, Jetasi, you will win. You will conquer them. Okay, Sanjaya speaks now. Sanjaya vacha, echa shudbam vachanam keshavasya kirtanjile vetvamana kiriti namaskritva bhuya vaha krishnam sa gadgadam bhita bhita pranamya. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, O King, after hearing these words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trembling Arjuna offered obeisances with folded hands again and again. He fearfully spoke to Lord Krishna in a faltering voice as follows. So now Arjuna understood that his friend is not an ordinary person, but he's Keshava. He's the controller of Brahma and Shiva. K means Brahma, and Sha means Shiva, and Va means controller. So now he understood Krishna's position. And here, Sanjaya refers to Arjuna as Kiriti, because Kiriti means helmet, and this is one of the 10 names of Arjuna, because he always wore this brilliant helmet that was given to him by his father Indra, after Arjuna had defeated Indra's enemies, the Nivata Kavacha demons, which came from the Rasatala planet, from the lower planets, to overturn and win Amaravati, the city of Indra. So at that time, Indra invited or requested his son to come to the heavens and to assist him, because Indra could not defeat them alone. So at that time, the Pandavas were in the mountains, the mountain regions, the Himalayas. And so Arjuna went to the heavens, and they stayed in the mountains during that time. And then he defeated these demons, and his father gave him this brilliant helmet that he wore. So therefore he's called Kiriti. Text 36. Arjuna vacha stane rishikesha tava prakirtya jagat parishyatyana srajyate cha rakshansi bhitani nisho dravanti sarve namasyanti cha siddha sangha. Arjuna said, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baladeva Vibhushan both say, O Rishikesh, you direct the senses of your devotees towards you, but you direct the senses of the non-devotees away from you. This is proper. So Arjuna calls Krishna Rishikesh. So that the demons flee and the devotees are attracted towards Krishna. So when the demons, they don't like Krishna, they they go in the opposite direction, but the devotees always come towards Krishna. So here, right at this point, Arjuna becomes aware. He knows that his friend is Krishna. That he knows that this universal form is his friend Krishna. But previously, he was unaware of this fact. Krishna had become lost to Arjuna in the Vishwarup. Arjuna was not able to perceive Krishna's presence there as his friend. But now, he's aware of that, and now he begins to offer prayers. And this is the first one. Text 37. Kasmachate na namaran mahatman garisyase brahmanopyari khatre ananda devesha jagannivasa tamaksharam sarasatat paramya. O great one, greater even than Brahma, you are the original creator. Why then should they not offer their respectful obeisances unto you? O limitless one, God of gods, refuge of the universe, you are the invincible source, the cause of all causes, transcendental to this material manifestation. Prabhupada comments, by this offering of obeisances, Arjuna indicates that Krishna is worshipable by everyone. He is all-pervading and he is the soul of every soul. Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Mahatma, which means that he is most magnanimous and unlimited. Ananta indicates that there is nothing which is not covered by the influence and energy of the Supreme Lord. And Devesha means that he is the controller of all demigods and is above them all. He is the shelter of the whole universe. So Mahatma also means the shelter of all. So he sees it as quite fitting that everyone offer their obeisances to Krishna. Even the great demigods. Tamari deva purusha puranas tamasya vishvasya param nidhanam vetasi vedyam shaparam jadhama tvayatadam vishvam anantarupam. You are the original personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes. O limitless form, this whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. Thank you. Vayuryamognir varuna shashanka prajapatistvam pravithamahascha namo namaste stu sahasrakritva punascha bhuyopi namo namaste. You are air, you are the supreme controller, you are fire, you are water, and you are the moon. You are Brahma, the first living creature, and you are the great grandfather. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you 1,000 times and again and yet again. So Arjuna's fear is waning here, and he feels like making an offering. But he's realizing that that the Lord has everything and is everything. So what can you offer to a person who has and owns and is everything? The only thing you can offer is your obeisances. So thus he begins to offer his obeisances again and again. Nama purastad ata prashvetaste namostute sarvata eva sarva ananda niryamita vikramastvam sarvam samapnoshitato si sarva. Obeisances to you from the front, from behind, and from all sides. O unbounded power, you are the master of limitless might. You are all pervading, and thus you are everything. Prabhupada comments, out of loving ecstasy for Krishna, his friend, Arjuna is offering his respects from all sides. He's accepting that he is the master of all potencies and all prowess, and far superior to all the great warriors assembled on the battlefield. So now, after realizing Krishna's greatness, Arjuna, remembering his very intimate and often familiar dealings with Krishna, he feels ashamed about this. And now he offers the next two verses, begging for forgiveness for all of the familiar dealings that he's had with Krishna.
Sakhetimatva prasabham yaduktam he Krishna he yarava he sakheti ajanata maimaram tavedam maya brahmada brahmanina bhakti yachavahasatam asatkridosi viharashayasana bhojaneshu ekotavapyachuta tatsamaksham taksamayetvamahamaprameyam.
Thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as we relaxed, lay on the same bed, or sat, or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all those offenses. So, Arjuna knew Krishna's greatness previously, but he didn't know the extent of his greatness. So after understanding that he is the ultimate shelter of the entire universe, so all the demigods are emanating from him and bowing down to him, and that he is the ultimate creator, maintainer, and annihilator of the universes, he feels greatly ashamed for all the times that he sat together, ate together, joked with Krishna. He often joked with Krishna, making fun of Krishna in front of others, saying, "Oh, truthful one, now what do you say about this particular situation?" In different ways he would jest and make fun of Krishna. And he would call him, "Hey Sakha, oh my friend, hey Krishna," but not the venerable Sri Krishna, or Krishna Chandra, or anything like that. And he would say, "Oh Yadava, I am Pandava. My father was a great Maharati, an emperor of the world, Pandu. He could defeat unlimited soldiers on the battlefield. But you are just a Yadava. Your father was just a minister. But, hey Sakha, you're a very nice person. I think I'll let you be my friend. I'll be kind upon you." Arjuna would condescendingly express his affection to Krishna as if from a superior position. Socially, he was in a superior position. So he would call him, "Hey Yadava," thinking himself, "I'm Pandava, and you're just the Yadava, but we'll be friends anyway, it's okay." Yes. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Vasudev was known only as an Arda Rati amongst the Kshatriya kings. It means he can only fight with one half of a soldier. Ardha means half. And while I am Arjuna, the son of Pandava, Pandu was Ati Rati. He could fight with unlimited numbers of men, single-handed. So, even though I have committed so many offenses, your affection toward me as a friend is not reduced even a little bit. Therefore, I call you Achyuta, because your friendship is infallible. Even though I have committed so many offenses, you have not given up your friendship with me. Therefore, Arjuna calls Krishna Achyuta, indicating that because he's so forgiving and humble, that his friendship will never fail. And Prabhupada comments that although Arjuna addressed him in these different ways, but Krishna is so kind and merciful that in spite of such opulence, he played with Arjuna as a friend. Such is the transcendental loving reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord. The relationship between the living entity and Krishna